Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toro Radio Show. I'm your host, Matt Hunter. I'm joined once again by Mr. Ben Williams. Ben, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here and after a long absence.
I was going to say, it's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And, of course, we are joined this evening by two very special guests. Very apt that we have them on following the recent launch of the CJ Wilson Racing Cayman Cup on the onlineracingassociation.com. So very welcome, big welcome to the show to Danny Burkett and Mark Miller. Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Looking forward to chatting with you guys.
Now, of course, I suppose it must be quite surreal for you guys because you have so much experience with the real version of the car that's being, well, I suppose a sort of a real version of the car that's being used, rather the GT4 Club Sport spec of the Cayman, rather than the GTS that's being used in game. I suppose the first question then, just quickly as we look at the virtual and real side of it, how close has the car got virtually to your experience of the real car so far?
Well, I think I'll start off with that one. I actually developed the car with you, Matt, using a gamepad. And what I thought with the gamepad was pretty good turned out to be a little bit different when I actually started using the wheel and pedals. So with the gamepad, it feels fantastic. You can really get up on the curbs and use the curbs quite well. And then when we got in the lobby last night, it was if you touched a curb, you were going off the track, and it would just absolutely upset the car. So there's a little bit of a difference in the wheel to the pedals, or the wheel to the controller. But from an overall driving standpoint, I'd say the car is relatively similar.
Yeah, and Forza 6 is notorious for the curbs that wants to end your life and your race all at the same time.
Oh, precisely.
Yeah, Sebring is probably cited as one of the worst. The other one also being Circuit of the Americas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's an entire series on YouTube that's called Wheel and Roll, where you basically you drive around the track. You actually drive around Sebring backwards and right at which turn is it? Turn. Oh, I need to do it backwards in my head. Turn 15 or 14. You can actually roll a car off that curb.
Oh, you know what? Completely. I think I actually may have seen that video series on YouTube on Car Throttle or something like that. It was absolutely fantastic. I laughed my butt off.
Yeah,
I think I've actually rolled the car going the right way on that track when I was
probably
practicing.
Yeah, on the Xbox 360 on the Forza Motorsports 4, I actually was racing side by side to a guy coming into that corner, and he actually rolled the car in front of me.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that was kind of an exciting couple seconds when I tried to avoid him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, let's talk about the. We'll just jump back into the real world for a moment. Obviously, you guys racing in the Continental Tire series at the moment. Not long ago, of course, we had a fantastic round at Laguna Seca. How did that go for you guys? Obviously, you know, currently joint second in the championship at the moment. So I think it's safe to say things are going rather well for you two at the moment.
Mm-hmm. It almost went perfectly. Almost.
Almost went perfectly.
Yeah, you had almost that, went perfectly.
Yeah, Danny had that amazing qualifying time.
And a pretty fantastic opening stint, you know.
Yeah.
And that was I think that's the frustrating part for both Danny and I, really the whole team, is we were poised to bring home our first win, and you know, you just can't control everything. And when you have an issue, whether it be in the pits with another competitor, with a caution coming out the wrong time, depending on what strategy you're on, all those things will turn a perfect race into a not so perfect race. And you know, we were pretty conservative. Our car was we unloaded the car with a pretty big understeer, and, you know, relating it to Forza 6, you know, a lot of those guys that are super fast, you know, the hardest thing, you know, every time I talk to someone, oh, you need a really good setup, but you got to be careful because the fast guys run a super loose setup. Well, we run a super loose setup too in real life. You got to get the car to rotate on entry, and you have to be able to manage it with throttle, and you need to be able to balance it on brake release, and all those things are important. So it's very similar in that way. But we unloaded the car that had, you know, a massive understeer, and instead of making wholesale changes, our sister car with Till Eckelsheimer and Tyler McCrory, they were a lot more neutral from the start. And you know, we just kind of slowly, methodically looked at, okay, the track is going to come to us, so let's not make huge changes. And we kind of just nipped at it a little bit here and a little bit there. So at the end of the long tire run, we had the best car on the track. The first part on sticker tires, it wasn't the best as far as the outright pace, but from middle of the stint on, it was definitely the easiest to drive and everything. But unfortunately, you know, depending on race length and stint length and fuel burn off and all of those things, when the caution comes out, we were probably a lap shy of really taking an opportunity to win the race.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that if we would have come out of the pits, you know, leading a second pit stop, it would have made a big difference because those top three cars, their actual pace lap times were so close, and the average laps were so close. The track decision was super important. And, you know, at a time at the beginning of my stint, or after the second stop on fresh tires, Tyler's car was faster than ours. And I had to work to keep him behind me because I knew my car would come in later. And if I was behind him, then he would just be holding me up. And, you know, so if we would have started out in the lead, I think we would have had a better shot at winning. But it's just the way it works in the pit. So, you know, sometimes you get caught out by things that happen in the pit. Sometimes you get caught out by the yellow. But really, we were pretty satisfied. I mean, I use that term like any racer does. You know, it's like, it's nice to stand on the podium, but you know, you get out of the car, and I think, you know, Shay Adam from Radio Le Mans was the first person to interview me. And Shay and I know each other really well, and she's awesome. And I've been on the show before, and hopefully I didn't hurt her feelings. I'm sure I didn't. There's much. She says, "Hey, does this feel like a win to you? You know, second places feel a win." I was like, No, a win feels like a win. This feels like second. So, you know, it's just like, I think the look in her eye was like, oh, okay then. Well, moving on.
So. Yeah, being on the podium is nice, but being on the next step up or two more steps up is just a little bit nicer.
Yeah, it's always one step. It's almost perfect. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I did pass comment to a friend of the show, Tom Onslow Cole, who was doing the Zandvoort 24-hour the other weekend, finished fourth, and he just posted this picture looking really sort of nonplussed and said, fourth. I was thinking, well, you know, all the fun of taking part, none of the hassle of a podium ceremony. What more do you want?
Yeah, you don't have to.
You gotta put those suits in the wash right away, otherwise.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to explain to your wife why you smell like champagne.
I don't think that's ever going to be an issue.
Oh, yeah. Just say.
Obviously, it's just looking forward. Of course, it's a little bit of a gap now until the next run. I believe the end of June at Watkins Glen. A few changes at the circuit over there. Obviously, they've had a new surface put down, Danny. Does that change how you guys approach the weekend when you have to take into account these kind of new changes to the track, or is it just turn up and see how it goes?
I guess I heard, let me just jump in here real quick. I'm sorry, Danny. I heard that Forza, the designers at Forza designed the curbs. So I would be careful on that first stint.
No, I think the job always remains the same. You know, you always go into the weekend with the same mentality. Just like Mark said, you know, if there is a problem with the car, you don't make wholesale changes. It's all about chipping away little by little and not going way off the handle. Because as soon as you go way off the handle, then it's very easy to go too far on the changes, and then you're lost because you don't have a good middle ground of this is what worked. We're just both extremes. And you end up just getting an absolute wash of the weekend. And with only two practice sessions for qualifying, it's very important to be able to take advantage of the track time you do have and make sure that you have a car that's drivable, not necessarily the fastest car on track. So, I mean, with the new surface, I'm really looking forward to it. Watkins Glen was always one of my favorite tracks. I actually got the privilege to drive it in 2014 in a Swift 016 Atlantic car, and that was something else. We were flying around there, I think, at, oh, I can't even remember, 1:16, so it was just flying around that drive. So I can't wait to get back there. We actually had good results last year there, too. I was in LMPC, and we finished third overall. So for me, it's been a very good track, and I'm looking forward to the new surface and actually being able to see where I'm going rather than surviving over the bumps.
Minute
I'm 16. Actually
That's crazy. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually flying up there tomorrow. There's a Trans Am event there that I'll be doing some coaching at, so hopefully have an opportunity to get on the track for a little better. And certainly I'll be able to be there and observe, you know, some of the different lines people are using. You know, with any new track, and I don't know of how much people know about real world racing, where, you know, online, and Danny and I both have done a lot of sim racing, but the track formula doesn't change very often. It doesn't change at all, really. So,
yeah,
you know, that bump from 2 years ago in the game is the same now, but it's different in real life. And the, you know, more so when you get a group of IMSA PC and GTD cars on track, and then next weekend, you know, you've got Trans Am there, and they have Hoosier rubber that's going down, and then we come back there, and they run Continental tires on the Conti series. The track dynamic changes sometimes daily, like pretty much daily.
Yeah.
So the level
there's also the whole realm of ambient temperature, how warm this racing surface actually is.
Oh yeah.
Basically everything that Forza has kind of tuned out, so they don't have to worry about it. So everything is pretty much consistent.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like that varying change, because then you're tuning yourself more than you're tuning the car.
Yeah.
And that's a great asset to have as a driver, for sure. Whether it's, you know, reality or online, I'm sure some of the fastest drivers out there in both worlds are really dynamic and able to make adjustments in themselves more so than the car. And that's where they find the most speed. You know, straight up, you can have the best tune on the car, but, you know, the drivers that can adjust the quickest are going to settle into the easiest pace and be okay, especially when you start the race on new tires and 78 degrees ambient, and then it drops to 60 degrees and starts raining. Setup's out the window at that point, and you're adjusting to yourself. So track condition, but the new surface at Watkins Glen, and it's not seasoned, it's brand new. So if it does rain, it actually should have a lot more grip than the previous circuit ever had. And you know, I know our Porsche Cayman GT4s are actually very, very well balanced and put power down really, really nicely in the wet condition. So, you know, rain or shine, I think we'll have a strong package there. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, we've just touched briefly on the sim racing side of this. So I suppose it's probably about time we talked about the fantastic CJ Wilson Racing Cayman Cup, presented by Logitech G. Now, Danny, of course, you experienced the full force of Toro competition at Sebring recently. So, talk us through your evening and how the race went for you.
Well, I must admit, I was extremely lost. I'd never really been on Xbox Live before, so I get on there and I'm looking for the lobby and I can't find anything. I didn't know I had to wait for an invitation from someone. So I'm sitting on tier 8 o'clock. I'm like, okay, well, qualifying's supposed to start at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's 8 p.m. Central, so it's just 9 o'clock Eastern. Haven't gotten any lobbies yet. So I started messaging people furiously on Twitter. What am I supposed to be doing? What am I looking for? And everyone's like, it's okay. Calm down. Just take a breath. You'll get your invitation sooner than later. So eventually it came, and we went for qualifying, and it was fine. I mean, the ghost part of qualifying was interesting to me, that it was, you could see the cars moving around in front of you and trying to follow them, but it was also once you got close to them, then they disappeared, obviously, and it was a little bit disorienting seeing everyone scatter in different ways and different lines. So it was an interesting experience, certainly something that I want to get better at and practice for, but I had no idea tuning was such a big part of the game. So I got into it, and these guys are running 213s and 214s, and I'm sitting there at a 217.9, and I'm like, okay, well, I've got some work to do, apparently. So now I've got my homework scheduled for the next 2 weeks and for Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, and hopefully we'll have a much better setup going in there.
So I think it's safe to say, and I'm sure Ben will agree with me, that some of the capabilities that some of the drivers have, particularly Race Boy, who finished second, mm-hmm. thank you very much to him for streaming the event so far.
Yes,
it's
yes,
basically
yes.
otherworldly.
Same.
And of course,
I was sitting in the evening at a 215, so it's like, how do you do this? How?
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense to Mark and I when we're looking at it, and we're like, okay, so we're running 216s, 217s, and these guys are running 212s. Like, how in the world are you even making that happen?
Yeah,
what class are they in? Because we actually raced this car, and it's like, okay, this kind of feels like the car a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And this is how fast we went. This is about right. And then you see someone go 4 seconds left faster, and so, well, what class are they in, and what are they doing to this car? Because this car's not going this fast.
Well, I suppose that's the next question, particularly for you guys as real racers, is do you get the same competitive buzz from thinking, okay, that guy's gone 4 seconds quicker, I need to beat that, and how do I go about that? Is it you know, quite similar for you in that regard?
I'd say absolutely. I mean, I see the guys in front of me that I was chasing down on the race, and I wanted to get there. I actually ended up crashing on the first lap just because I got a little bit overexcited, and that'll happen. But it's, you want to beat the cars in front of you. You want to be first place. And even when I'm driving my car on the street, never mind virtual racing, I always want to be the fastest car out there. You don't necessarily have to be speeding excessively, but you also want to be passing someone.
Oh, yeah.
That's set a good example, Danny. Killing. Tell everybody to break laws out there on the street.
Yeah.
Please remember, we at Tor do not condone or necessarily...
Insert waiver here, everyone.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, Mark, you've got all this yet to come.
I actually did my due diligence. I tested at Sebring and Daytona. The biggest thing is getting the proper setup. I know I tweeted and Instagrammed out an image of what my setup looks like, and I'm full on Logitech boy right now. I've got the 920, the shifter, a G933 headset, and it's like everything I have is geared to race on Forza and project cars and whatever, you know, like any Tora race. And I spent just a week just tweaking that, because I know that with previous wheels and, you know, previous setups, just having the right controller setup. Now, forget what the tune of the car is, but having the right controller set up is really important. So, no, I think I spent a few hours more than I really should have just Google searching and looking up, you know, setups and what works better and what doesn't. And, you know, only to find out that some of the fastest guys out there scrap that whole thing and use a controller. So I'm like, ah, man. Mm-hmm. But for me, I mean, I use this as a simulator. I've got iRacing, I've got Project Cars, I've got a set of Corso. I use it. You know, last year when I was gonna go race at Le Mans, there wasn't iRacing didn't have Le Mans. I didn't have R Factor, and there were too much to do. So I downloaded a program that had it, and I utilized it, and you have to mandatory run a simulator if you go to Le Mans for the first time over in Paris. And then I did another one in Toronto. And then I've logged probably 15 hours of simulator time on the Le Mans circuit. And going into Forza, it's just straight up, you know, race people, it's a different experience because I'm utilizing it for a whole different reason. You know, that's more of a entertainment, beat the guy in front of you, avoid just getting crashed into on the start of the race. Like if I started right in front of Danny, what would have happened, obviously. Yeah. So there's a lot of overzealous on that. And so I try to use it for both. And I had a limited amount of time and I used it a lot of it for setup. I'm telling you, I was really thankful. Some of the members, on Tora that knew I was on there came and added me as a friend or a contact and then got on there and helped me with setups and helped me with, you know, making sure, like, same thing, same story as Danny. It's that community that helps you get set up and get started. And you're going to have any new people that are interested in doing that. Mm-hmm. I can't stress how important it is for everybody in your community to reach out to the new people like that and make them feel welcome and maybe slow your fast guys down some more with some ballast weight and
trying.
Yeah.
You know, because
we'll throw some of that shot into their cars classes. Or something.
Yeah, there's gotta be some classes out there that are spec enough to where you just jump in and kick the rust off and enjoy yourself and not 5 seconds off the pace. But that's just the racer in me talking. You know, because just like Danny and I were talking earlier, we're like, man, these guys are so fast and so good, you know, and other sims we can jump on and be on pace on like a spec class stuff. And it's like a whole different zip code, you know, with these guys. So, you know, mm-hmm. I'm anxious to learn their secrets in the limited amount of time we have to do it for sure.
I think it's safe to say, and I'm sure Ben will agree with me, that the tour community is probably one of the better ones for being very open with sharing. Sharing such information and setup and tuning and that kind of thing. So if you're listening to this and you're new to the series, then, you know, the system is exactly the same. Please feel free to reach out to some of the pros at Tora, and I'm sure they'll be more than happy to assist you for the championship. So I suppose one of the last questions we have to ask then, you know, inter-team rivalry and all that. Going into Mazda Laguna Seca and in the not too distant future, who's going to come out on top there, then, gentlemen?
Well, if I start in front of Danny, probably he will.
Yeah, there might be a little bit of a bump and run coming. You know, it's a teammate's rivalry, but you know,
I'll just sit behind him and watch him hit curbs.
I mean, I'm the younger one, so I should be faster at video games if we put it that way. So hopefully I'm going to be the A party.
I've been playing simulators since before you were born.
Hey, man, oh, boy, here we go.
Or never mind simulators.
I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic championship. Gentlemen, thank you ever so much for joining us. It's a great honor to have you guys competing in the championship and to have the CJ Wilson Racing team behind this fantastic Cayman Cup. I really do wish you all the best for Laguna Seca and, of course, for the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge at Watkins Glen. I'm sure all of our listeners and members of the community will be cheering, and hopefully we'll see if we can coax a few to head over to Watkins Glen and cheer you trackside as well, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, we'd actually love for any of the Tora members and online community to introduce themselves if they were able to come to an event and see what it's like in the flesh and actually maybe get to sit or be around the car that they get to race online and everything. So, you know, big thanks to, you know, not just Tora, but Logitech, or the series sponsor, and all of our partners that are giving away swag and prizes, including Continental Tire and Sonic, Safecraft. We've got just a ton of great partners that on our race team that were like, you guys, you know, want to do this. This is awesome. We'll give you some stuff to give out. So we hope that the community enjoys it and really gets behind it.
Absolutely fantastic. Mark, Danny, thank you ever so much for joining us. And hopefully we'll catch you up with you guys again as the season progresses.
Fantastic. Thanks for having us on, guys.
Yep.
Okay, so that was the Cayman Cup covered. What a fantastic series that is, Ben. I think that is definitely one, if you're new to sim racing, that's definitely one to look at.
Yeah, I've heard so much positive feedback from the series that it's kind of hard to imagine that we didn't do this before, if you know what I mean.
We have to, of course, say a massive, massive thank you to everyone at CJ Wilson Racing, Continental Tire, Logitech G, and all the other fantastic sponsors who are putting their weight behind this and being ever so generous with their help, their time, and of course prizes for all the winners. So thank you very much. We jump now from various parts of America and Canada to another part of a very familiar part of Southeast America. I have to think about it then. And we welcome the enter metaphor here, Louis Satterley, to the show once more. Hello, Louis.
You've done so many intros for me and have literally ran out of metaphors.
Someone please send Matt a thesaurus.
Oh, dude, that's Christmas sorted.
A thesaurus, yes. Somebody send Matt a thesaurus.
Exactly. And also we have Andy Hunt, a fellow staff member, joining us for the probably the first time, actually, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it's first time.
So welcome, Andy, from, I want to say, Benedict Racing. I'm getting really bad with team names these days.
Yeah, is it?
We're nothing if not abroad in the Church of Torah when it comes to teams on staff, so there we go.
You're also running out of metaphors. You can't remember teams on metaphors.
Yeah, there we go. Brain dead, gone. Tired. Right, anyway, onwards and upwards then to the news, and two quick bits of news before the main feature, I suppose, we'll cover news-wise this evening. The game of the year, I keep saying goatee, that's not what it is at all, that's a type of animal, and that is an adjective, ladies and gentlemen. The game of the year edition of Project Cars has arrived. That obviously comes with two new Paganis, and the full Nürburgring layout for all you VLN fans out there. I say it only comes with the two Paganis and that layout, but of course, gentlemen, it comes with every single DLC pack and community livery pack that we've had so far. That's a pretty generous offering for $39.99.
Yeah, yes, it makes all the money that I've already spent on all of that DLC. All of a sudden, it just
right out of my mouth.
It really grinds my gears, to quote Peter Griffin.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you, except for the fact that we did get, unlike in some other titles, we did get those extra cars, Nürburgring and the Paganis, as a usual DLC pack separately for the usual couple of quid, which is absolutely, you know, which is brilliant, and it does mean that everyone who has been throwing their funding behind Project Cars for the last 12 months hasn't been left out, and of course has seen the game grow to the wonderful state it's in now, particularly as we are beginning to look forward to round 3 of the British GT Championship from Orton Park. More on that later. Bad news from Italy, unfortunately, which is very interesting because last week they had their media day at Vallelunga for a game that's not out yet. Assetto Corsa has been moved until August. Andy, Louis, I think this is a game that secretly we were all quite looking forward to. A bit disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. I've looked at some videos in there. It looks good. One I was looking forward to.
Me personally, I mean, outside the videos I've seen of it, you know, I really actually haven't had much interest in it, to be honest. Probably because the content that's in there doesn't really pique my interest, so to say.
Mm-hmm. But at least it doesn't grind your gears.
No, it doesn't grind my gears. How nice of you to point that out. That's why you send me automatic gearboxes on my race cars.
Yes, sure. We do hate to have to rebuild them every single time.
Anyway, if I can say my two cents on this.
Yeah,
real
of
quick.
Course, Ben, of course.
Yeah. I'm a little iffy about Assetto Corsa, mainly because on the back of my mind, there's always going to be that, what if it's another Project Cars thought, where it's a PC sim that they're trying to fit to the console, so there's going to be some teething problems, and that's kind of ultimately why Cars fell out of popularity, because you would drive out of the pits and only have 3 tires, or you would drive out of the pits and only filled your tank halfway. All these various little bugs that just kind of drug the game down in a lot of people's opinions, and there are things like that. And I will also say something that I also said when Project Cars was coming out: the more that the game is delayed, the hopefully that more that it's polished, and hopefully the Assetto Corsa developers, whose names escape me right now, will do a better...
Kuno Simulazioni, I believe.
Yeah. Will do a better job of polishing their game than... I'm sorry, guys, over at...
Slightly Mad.
Slightly Mad, thank you. Sorry, the guys over at Slightly Mad, but there was kind of some problems with your game when it came out. I know it's fixed now, but when it came out, it was kind of broken.
It's very forward from Ben.
Send all letters to Ben Williams. Yes. That is Ben Williams.
Oh, boy.
We'll get back to you on his address.
Any powdery white envelopes coming to my address shall be forwarded to the States. I think it's safe to say...
Whoa, terrorist alert right there.
I think it's safe to say...
Remember, here at Tora, we don't necessarily support the views of our...
I like Chinese. It has rice in. It does raise an interesting question though about the troubling trend with developers releasing games. Well, two trends, I suppose. Firstly, mm-hmm. releasing release dates that they then don't stick to, and yeah. secondly, releasing titles which on day one have a massive day one
glitch storm,
yeah, or you know, a patch that takes mm-hmm. up another gigabyte or something like that of your hard drive.
Yeah.
When did this happen? When did games stop being released complete? I mean,
I don't know. Well, here's something else to that. With Dirt Rally, did you have any problems with it? Because I didn't.
No.
I can't think of anyone else having problems with Dirt Rally.
No.
Besides the whole, you know, the SpeedNet thing not working sometimes. Yeah. But besides that, at a hardware level, it worked when it came out.
Mm.
So I'm like, what? But then again, argument...
I got a simple theory on that, Ben.
Yeah, the argument... Let me just finish my thought real quick or else I'll lose it, frankly. The argument can be made, though, that Codemasters has done console releases before, so they're used to it. But this is their second game for the current generation? Yeah. Second or third?
Yeah, second.
Yeah, and they hit it out of the park immediately, so I don't know what's going on here. Go ahead, Lily. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I appreciate you. But my theory is that Dirt 3, when did we hear about it? Like, when did they announce that the release was going to happen of it?
A year ago.
Okay. So, with all these other games that are having issues, they say, this is the game we're going to have, this is the release date, and 3 years from now, this is when it's going to be. And then whenever that date comes close, oh, we got to push it back. Oh, we got to push it back. Oh, we got to push it back. Okay, so my thing is that they're advertising way too early.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing what I'm assuming is what Codemasters has done, is gotten a game down to where it's pretty good. All they have to do is do a little bit of polishing. And a year from now, we're going to go ahead and release it whenever we know we got everything good and done. Because if you think about it, what Slightly Mad Studios did with Project Cars, like, this is the project we're working on, this is the transparency. All that's fine and dandy, and here's all this transparency, and the game's going to be released in a year, and we just started development.
I think... Mm. It's not
PlayStation 1. You can't develop a game in a year anymore.
I think also... Well, don't forget, really, Project Cars was actually in development for closer to 4 years when you consider when... You know, it first started when the noises first started coming out for PC. And of course, the majority of the development of that title was for PC. As it was for Dirt Rally, of course, let's not forget, you know, a lot of us.
Yeah, Dirt Rally
went through the scenes.
Went through the whole Steam beta program and all that.
Absolutely. And let's not forget, you know, we're on the credits. A lot of Tora people and, you know, Stan was able to go there and have his input. Input has been requested by the community. It almost seems to be a version of what Slightly Mad Studios did with Project Cars, but not as open. And perhaps where Slightly Mad Studios jumped a bit further than people were comfortable with was being so open and was laying everything out, and everyone was seeing, you know, trying the new build, realizing problems, but mentally thinking, this is a finished game, and it never is. And titles these days, and it's not just racing titles, of course, it's across the board.
Yeah.
What major AAA title hasn't had a day one patch or hasn't had additional content added to it, which arguably should have been there in the first instance? It's just one of those strange things that that seems to happen with game development these days.
It's all about business.
It's a very tight market, isn't it? So
get
the game out as quick as possible. Mm. May not be finished, but get it out as quick as possible for the public and then finish it off after.
But what we're seeing, of course, and you know, perhaps topically with Battlefield 1, is that unlike some other developers, we're not going to get into that battle because that's not our area whatsoever, but unlike some other developers, they have listened to what the community want. They have listened to their core gamer group, not the casual gamers who go in, buy a game because it's got a pretty cover on it and they know they can shoot some stuff for 20 minutes, get bored, and then, you know, take it back down to their shop and trade it in for something else. They're appealing to their core fan groups. And this is what the developers of racing games are now realizing, is that actually, yes, the casual gamer will give them that initial amount of, you know, initial amount of funding through purchasing the game and maybe buying a little bit of the extra DLC. But it's your core group, the people who live and breathe that game for 12 months, 24 months, buy everything that comes out for it. Those are the people you've got to appease. Those are the people that you've got to market the games for. And who here would honestly say that in my opinion, my observation is, the games of the last 12 months that have come out, Project Cars, Dirt, to an extent Forza 6, Assetto Corsa are coming out, of course, soon, all these games are actually quite difficult. They're not, you know, you can pick, if you turn everything on, you can pick up and play them and win a race outright and, you know, hooray, I'm world champion.
Yeah.
But as soon as you turn things off, it becomes a completely different animal.
It's a completely different animal.
Hmm. Louis, would you agree with that?
All of the above. Oh, sorry, that wasn't multiple choice. I'm sorry. Yes, I 100% agree. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, if you just want something to easily win, you know, set it to easiest setting for the casual gamer who's looking for the quick success. But to the people that want a challenge, who are trying to make themselves better at any type of racecraft, whether it be just for practice off of the actual racetrack or to the sim racer, who this is as serious as it gets for them because funding won't allow them to do anything else. I mean, you got to appease to those people. You can't do it for the casual gamer, which we have always said, because, and you already said it, it's the quick buck, and then 2 weeks, they're done with it. They won't touch it again. They won't even look at it.
So there you go. And it's just one of those things. We best move on to the other major aspect of news coming out just recently. We made the very obvious and important decision not to comment on this prior to release, because we always respect the dedication and work that goes into DLC content and all the effort that goes in behind the scenes. Forza 6, the NASCAR pack, it is now here. 24 cars, one extra circuit, Homestead in Miami. What does this mean for Toro? Yep, you guessed it. We're going racing again on ovals. TASCAR.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
I was not going to be the one to say that, so thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
So we are very pleased to say TASCAR.
Writing letter to Ben Williams right now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
What, it's because I did it without the accent?
Very probably.
It's because you did it at all.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so TASCAR will be returning to Tora in the very, very near future. Expect an announcement on that one, plus an extensive calendar, which will take you almost through to December, actually, if all goes to plan. Mm-hmm. It's going to be worthwhile. So this is the first time we've had contemporary NASCARs on Tora. First time we've had contemporary NASCARs in Forza. So, you know, absolutely, absolutely fantastic news. So thank you very much, Turn 10, for producing this outstanding pack. And I think it's safe to say we're all a little bit excited about it, even if we're not massive. Yeah. Well, except for Lewis, of course, because he doesn't like NASCAR, but hey-ho.
Boo!
I, I will speak as a NASCAR fan here then. I've been personally really enjoying the pack so far and all this new stuff that they added with the whole drafting and whatnot. It's really something that Forza has been needing overall, just because we had the, what was it, the Chevy Monte Carlo and the Ford
Fusion with it?
Fusion, yeah, the Fusion. Yeah, we had those back on Forza 4, and we really haven't had a task car series since then. Yeah. So it's good to get back to some of, well, Tor's roots in a way. This is season 5 coming up.
I think you may well be right. Yeah. And of course, Tor's roots. Well, we won't say too much, but if you like multi-class sports car racing, and you don't really want to take part in the TEC because it's quite an investment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And stick around. Next month, we've got some quite big news for you. So more on that in the not too distant future. One final bit of news, actually, just to mention, TCC is coming. So stay tuned for that one as well. We're very pleased to continue our partnership with Wix Racing, who will be backing our Touring Car Championship coming towards the end of June. So expect a preview show for that. And also on TRS on RadioLeMans.com. If you've got any thoughts and opinions on the show this evening so far, your thoughts on developers, how they produce games and the general gaming business, your thoughts on NASCAR, all of the above so far mentioned, please do contact us at @TheReal_Tora using the hashtag TRS, and we shall endeavour to include your comments in the show. Gentlemen, time's a wasting, so it's time to quickly cover some news coming up. Louis, I suppose, like, it's a bad thing. IndyCar Season 3, tell us about it.
We go fast for a long time, roughly about 100 miles.
All jokes aside, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
yes, all jokes aside.
That's an oversimplification, I've ever heard it.
Well, you said time wasn't wasting, so I had to make it brief. No, we're racing for 8 rounds this particular season. Or, actually, sorry, 9 rounds.
There you go.
My mistake there. I looked at the wrong calendar there for a moment. But, yes, 9 rounds for this particular season. Going to be spanning, it's basically the global championship. The last season that we had last time was All-American Tracks. Was good fun, but it lacked that, you know, international aspect with it. And because we've also moved the time and the day that we're going to be running the event, it's going to be even more of an international affair. So we've moved it from Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, to Saturdays, 8 p.m. British Standard Time.
Ooh.
So that's 3 p.m. Eastern over here for us Americanese. So
Americanese.
we start the season off at Spa-Francorchamps. We end at Indianapolis Grand Prix Circuit, the classic venue, because you can't have an IndyCar series without a visit at Indy at some point. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have been asking why the Indy 500 isn't included on this one. Well, because after the latest experiment that we had, where we had the Indy 500 wrapping up season 2, that event was in February, didn't really feel like an Indy 500. So the next one that we have, it'll either be its own standalone event or it'll be part of the championship. It just depends on how it falls. It will be the weekend before next year's Indy 500. So that's roughly a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
So give or take. And that should be absolutely stunning. And it's probably going to get a rename to the Dan Weldon Memorial Tora Indy 500.
Mm-hmm.
For the passing of my late friend and a friend to many other people out there in the racing community and some racing community as well. So yeah, it's going to be all heads up battle between Chevrolet and Honda once again, and each manufacturer has a championship to their own right. So now we get to see who gets to have the one up.
Fantastic. And very much look, I think I might, if I can squeeze some time, I might see if I can jump into a race or two for that one myself.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it myself as well. So,
quick, do it!
Quick, okay.
Quick mention of British GT. The race at Imola, I think a lot of people use that as their drop round. It's not the ideal circuit we discovered insofar as traffic's an issue. And quite frankly, there's some corners on there we really, really don't like. It's great in a Formula One car, so grab a Formula One sim that has it and try that one out. The next round of British GT takes place at Alton Park. So we're back on British soil now. Alton Park in a Bentley. I'm sure someone is. Oh, actually, Lewis, you're in a Bentley for that one.
Yes.
Don't need
I'm being incredibly coy right now.
Hey, maybe a lot quicker than you think I am.
Yes.
I need to get a tune that means I'm not going to be arriving in most corners backwards. That's going to be quite interesting, I think. We also, of course...
No, he's going to be arriving at the corner sideways now.
Ah, there we go.
It's halfway back.
And it's an improvement.
After Imola, it really, really is. Touring car...
Progress, gentlemen.
Touring car masters by our good friend Flying Mikey J, running this epic series. In fact, I believe it's starting round two is on this very evening.
Yes,
championship's already underway. Who can tell me what is in this lovely series for all the people who like slightly older cars?
Yeah, I've been working with Mikey J on this, so I know a little bit more about it. We have a little bit of everything. It's mainly late 80s, early 90s cars that you saw in touring car series all around the world. So we literally have everything from the Toyota Sprinter Torino, the Vauxhall Lotus Cortina, the Golf GTI Mark II, the Nissan GTR V-Spec, that's the R32, I think.
Sounds about
for all you who are familiar with that. Of course, then you have classics like the Mercedes 190E. The Holden Commodore Group A car is also making an appearance.
Wow.
Of course, you got to have the Ford Sierra Cosworth RS500 in there. There is the 91 version of the BMW M3. We actually have a BMW M6 35CSI car also popping up. And interestingly, a Ford SVT Cobra R. Now, I know what you're thinking. Mustangs. Not typically what you think of a touring car. However, it did run one DTM championship a long time ago, so we got to add it in there. And this car list has been dwindled down from a couple... I think we had 20 cars at one point that we were all playing with.
So, don't forget you got the two Alphas as well.
Oh, yep. Of course, we had the Alpha GT V6 and the Alpha 155 Q4. Yeah, we have it's a very variety of lists. And I also forgot to mention one other, the Mitsubishi Galant.
Goodness
VR,
me.
V4R. Yeah, there's a lot. I think I got all of them. Yeah, I got all of them.
So suffice to say, it's an extremely good car list.
Yeah, it's a very
good car.
I should
be going after the Mercedes, I fancy, because I do quite like that car when it was racing in real life. So round two taking place as pretty much as we speak, actually, if not maybe slightly later.
Week we are at Spa for a feature 45-minute race.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun in some of those.
Oh, yeah.
Eau Rouge in a car with hardly any grip. Yes, please.
They're not... I've driven a lot of the cars. They're not grippy, but they have some grip.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, so if you want more information on the Touring Car Masters or any of the other series that we've mentioned so far this evening, then please do head over to forums.theonlineracingassociation.com and have a little look around, and hopefully you'll see something that takes your fancy. Moving on, Andy, some pre-Le Mans news, I believe, that you can bring us.
Yes, that's right. I just remember in the last 1-2 years ago, we... Benedict Racing done it for the Great Ormond Street Hospital charity.
Yeah.
Again, we're gonna do it for charity again for this year. We're hoping to run all three of our cars. This year's charity is going to be the NSPCC.
Okay.
Obviously, there'll be more information on our team news page on the forums. A link to where you can donate. Any little amount helps. It's a good charity, helps children in need that are suffering with abuse of some sort, and it has hit home to one of our drivers before, so they've done a lot of help one of our drivers. It's a good charity.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Brilliant, brilliant course. And it's great. In fact, this has become one of the great things about the Tour of 24, of Le Mans in particular, is it does nearly always every year have at least one car being run for a charity. So it's brilliant that we're able to have that again in 2016. So thanks very much for setting that up, Andy. Yes. And we, of course, we wish you all the very best luck. And as we get more news on how you can donate and all the other little details on that, we will of course tweet the information on what's our Twitter
at the
real underscore tour. Goodness gracious, yeah. Mate. It's getting late, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting late. Matthew's getting tired. Mm-hmm. So goodness me. So yes, yeah, so thank you for that. And
before we move on to the next section, I've just been messaged something from our very own Stan. The man, he wanted me to announce that the community poll series is going to be starting off very soon. What the community poll series is, that we're going to make a series here at Tora where the community votes on everything, the cars, the track, how many rounds there are, everything. The voting's going to start at the end of May, and it will be in waves. And that the polls are just being planned out now, and have some interesting things for people to vote on in the near future.
It's almost like Project Cars in small form, isn't it? Really, that's going to be quite an interesting concept. So, Stan, good luck with that one. I suppose there is nothing left to do this evening. We've packed quite a lot in this show so far. So. I know he's chomping at the bit. Once more, it's that time, ladies and gentlemen. Turn up or down your radios and tune in to the wonderful Louis Satterley and his marvellous test track once more. I think this is all a surprise for all of us.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Tour Test Track on the Tour Radio Show on RadioLeMans.com. I'm glad you could join me back on this one. This one definitely means a lot to me. You heard just a few minutes ago on the show, IndyCar is wide open, and we are taking in entries right now, so we're going to go ahead and give you a preview of some of that action right now. I'm going to take my IndyCar that I am registered for, and I'm going to take it around Yas Marina Circuit, which is actually round, let me double check that, six. I did double check. I have it written down right here. Round six of the championship. So let's go ahead and get behind the wheel of this thing, but before, actually, let me backtrack a little bit. We're not going to get behind the wheel just a moment yet, because this does kind of have a heavy heart moment for me, because the person who developed the car in real life, Mr. Dan Weldon, a very personal friend of mine, and actually I shared a pretty brief connection with him, and I figured I would share that moment with you. A couple years ago, whenever he was racing with Chip Ganassi at the Rolex 24 at Daytona, we had brought a slot car track to entertain ourselves whenever cars were not on the circuit. Coming into the circuit, Dan was driving by, coming through what is NASCAR Turn 4 Tunnel, saw what we had, and said that he would be by a little bit later on to have some fun with us. And true enough, sure, staying completely true to his word, he showed up and stuck around for about a good 2 hours afterward and did nothing but race slot cars with us. He didn't have to do that, but he did it anyway. And then anytime we went to the track and he saw me, he would always ask about the slot car track if it was there. He showed up whenever he could, which was absolutely awesome. That was my connection with Dan Weldon. Sadly, for us, I would say, we all saw Dan pass away rather tragically. What would I consider a tragic to us? For Dan, I don't think it was a tragedy, because he passed away doing what he absolutely loved. So, in honor of Dan, we're going to drive a car that he developed virtually on a race series that I developed. So, here we go. Going to go around Yas Marina Circuit, and we're going to go ahead and see what IndyCar dreams are made of. All right, we're just outside of what would be the final corner of the pit entry here, looking at Yas Marina Circuit. It's nighttime.
fireworks are going off. Let's go ahead and give ourselves a revving start in traditional test track fashion. There it is. Very nice. Revving that sucker up. Feel the TCS kick in. I do have that. I know the real world car does not have that. Otherwise, the car's just going to spin around on me. Now we're going across the start-finish line now. Instantly fourth gear. 0 to 170 down into turn one right away. Feel the torque out of that sucker. There it is. Feel the grip as well. We're going to go ahead and flat out through the next section. Actually had to breathe just a little bit, picking it off the rev limiter. Hold it steady. Hold it steady. There it is. Very nice. Hard on the throttle once again, picking off the rev limiter. 180 before we do hard braking into this tight little complex. Second gear, 50 miles an hour. Back on the throttle, then get reeled down in there. First gear for this hairpin before we launch it onto the back straightaway. Feel a little bit of tire burning up there as we come onto the back straightaway now. What kind of speed are we going to get out of this? Fourth gear already. 160. 180. Not even halfway down there yet. Still in fifth gear. Here comes 200 right there. 205 before hard braking. Here's the chicane. First gear again. Real tight. 30 miles an hour from 200 miles an hour. There it is. And then we go on the second part of the back straightaway underneath the Yas Marina Circuit Bridge. Trying not to ping it off the rev limiter. I am torturing this motor right now as we come back up onto the second part of it. Going past the club pit lane. Here it is. Hard braking once again from 180 miles an hour. First gear again. Watch the curves. The car's going to want to kick around on you. Easy. Feed onto it. There it is. Back onto the throttle again. Second gear. Brake hard again. Second gear. And ease onto the power. Now we got this quick right-hander. Right-hander, then hard braking into another right-hander. There it is. Look at that lovely building up there lighting up with multicolors. Second gear, 50 miles an hour. Back on the throttle again, getting sideways, cold tires. Then the left-hander, underneath the bridge and complex there. Third gear, still 60 miles an hour now. And then just ease onto the throttle. There it is. Now we got the quick right-hander, quick breathe of the throttle. Back on the power again, hopping the curbs. Then hard braking again, third gear, last corner. And we're back on the front straightaway. Happens quick here at Yas Marina Circuit. So now, catch our breath. Let's see what kind of a lap time we can get out of this one now. Hard braking there, third gear, into turn one. There it is, 70 miles an hour this time around. Going to get onto the throttle again. Tires are up to temperature. Still have to breathe for the turn two, but we can keep it pinned here for the second part. Nope, not quite. It started to wash out on me. Fifth gear again. Hard braking for this slow complex. 180 miles an hour again. Second gear. 55 miles an hour. Easy, easy. Don't want to get too hard on it. There's the wall right there. First gear. 40 miles an hour before we get on the throttle again for the long back straightaway. There it is. Now, here's my last chance to catch my breath for the rest of the lap, I do believe. So then, lots of power when you want it, lots of downforce when you want it. That's what we want. So again, 205 miles an hour that we got out of there before hard braking first gear. Ease onto it. It's a little bit of an uphill. That curve wants to kick you off and make you all sorts of sideways. There it is. High card on the throttle as we go on to the second part of the back straightaway. Don't get a lot of time to breathe here whenever you're trying to call all that action. So here we are, past the club pit garage once again. Hard braking once again. Second gear this time around. Let's see. Easy on the throttle. The curbs will kick you off all wrong. And there it is. Back on the gas. Second gear still. Drop it down to 50. Then we get back on the throttle again. Start-stop circuit tradition here at Yas Marina. Ping it off the rim limiter. More of that torturing of the motor that I seem to like to do on this particular test track. Hard braking, first gear, 40 miles an hour. Back on the throttle again. Bring it up to second, just in time to stab the brakes and get tipped to the next corner. Once again, and then third gear, you grab it. No, there was the tire barrier. Just missed it. Oh my goodness me. Got to catch my breath after that one, so you're going to miss a little bit of the last two corners here. But there it is, last corner right now, 70 miles an hour. Back on the throttle once again, and we are going to get a lap time of 152.092. Not my best lap I've done, but it's quite exciting. Almost hit a curb. Actually, hit plenty of curbs. Almost hit a tire barrier. Let me correct that. So, with a heavy heart and great dedication, this one is to Dan Walden, my good friend. I'm sure a lot of other people have stories about you that I would love to hear, so if you ever meet me at a racetrack, definitely come and tell me your story. For Lewis Satterley, this has been the Tour Test Track on the Tour Radio Show on RadioLeMans.com. Until then, be safe, drive fast, take care, bye for now.
And that's another fantastic track test from Lewis Satterley. Fantastic car, that. Really looking forward to IndyCar Season 3 on the OnlineRacingAssociation.com. Lots of series to look forward to, lots of racing ongoing, plenty in store for the rest of 2016. Looking forward to 2017 and our 10th anniversary year. So If you've got any ideas about how you'd like us to do some stuff for the community or with community in 2017, then do tweet us at @TheReal_Torah using the hashtag TRS, and we shall throw it in the pot and see what comes out in 2017. In the meantime, I've been Matt Hunter. Lewis Attlee has been his usual exuberant self. Andy Hunt's been fantastic company, and Ben has gone and had dinner. So from me and the rest of the Torah team, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next month, the Torah Radio Show, live on RadioLeMond.com. See you next month. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMond.com.